Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, the big L.A., welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave Nassani, the Caregiver's Caregiver, CaregiverDave.com, coming to you live and on demand 24-7 on HealthyLife.net, all positive talk radio. And we have over 200 shows in archive on our membership website, CaregiverDave.com, and many other global platforms, including iTunes and YouTube. Yes, we're video as well on some of our shows. And we have a very, very exciting interview planned for you today. I'm so excited. Movie producer, writer, and author of his new book about his wife's devastating automobile accident. Actually, she got hit by a bus, which is worse than an automobile accident. And his new book, Struck, just out, Douglas Siegel. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Doug, because he's probably so modest he might leave out some important details. Doug has written and produced movies for Warner Brothers, Disney, MGM, and television for Fox, the CW, Showtime, A&E, History, Discovery Channel, the Cartoon Network, and many others. The projects he has been involved in has been nominated for a Golden Globe Award, Grammy Award, People's Choice Award, and have won numerous Teacher Choice and Parent Choice Awards. Wow. He continues to work in the entertainment industry and lives in the Los Angeles area with his family, where he also serves on the Board of Trustees at Temple Israel of Hollywood. But his most important job right now is caregiver to his wife. But before we get him on, I need to just take this moment to thank my last guest, author of Eat Cake, Be Brave, reality star on the USA Network, 150 million video views on YouTube, and my new BFF, Melissa Radke. And just a reminder, you can hear her incredible interview right here on HealthyLife.net. And all you have to do is go to the archives and find Dave Nassani, Caregiver Dave. All right, enough of that. Please help me welcome today's amazing guest, author, writer, producer, Douglas Siegel. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on. I know you're a very busy guy lately.
My pleasure.
So I always like to ask my guests, why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself? I like to say, just who in the world is Douglas Siegel and why was he put on this earth?
Wow.
How's that for a first question?
From Massachusetts originally, went to college in New York where I studied acting, actually, and realized during that time that I wasn't a very good actor. I was actually a better writer and director. So I started writing and directing theater and moved out to Los Angeles with my wife, no kids at the time, and tried to get into this the movie business. We always say we packed up our truck and moved to Beverly. We were fortunate. I started working for a producer who's no longer with us by the name of Dawn Steele and developed and produced a number of movies with her, including Cool Runnings and City of Angels. And then she formed a company with her husband, Chuck Roven, and I went on to work in development and run his film company. And we produced Three Kings and Bulletproof Monk, and among others, worked on Scooby-Doo and Fallen, and probably about 100 other movies that never got made, as is the case in the movie business.
I guess so.
Yeah, and then I went on to work in Disney and wrote and produced animation, and then started getting into television. So I've sort of dipped my hands into all of the different areas here. I would say my biggest production, though, came 6 years ago yesterday, actually, when my wife and daughter were driving to school, and bus lost control and hit them head on.
Oh, my. I read somewhere that it looked like the bus just swallowed the car. Is that kind of an accurate statement?
Yeah, it was that morning getting the call that no one ever wants to get, that punch in the gut. And I think that that's one of the reasons why so many people have related to our story, not just because of the specifics, because it's actually fairly cliche, you know.
Sure.
You don't know what's going to happen when you wake up in the morning, you might just get hit by a bus.
Well, yeah.
That one actually did happen.
Wow.
But I think the randomness of the event, that it could have happened to any number one of any one of our friends and any number of people, I think that makes you just sort of stop and take pause and be grateful when it's not you. But I got that call from my daughter and
when was
ran
that
over to the scene, and it was right out of an action movie.
What year was that, Doug?
2012.
Wow.
2012, yeah. So when I came up on the scene, there were just ambulances and helicopters and fire trucks, and saw the car and just couldn't understand how it was where it was, because it was going in the right direction on the far right of the curb lane, and the bus was in front of it. And as you said, it looked like the bus had swallowed the car, literally consumed it. It was on top of the car. And I thought as I came up to that, oh, my God, I can't believe anybody has survived that.
What kind of car was it?
It was a BMW. And I credit the doctors for keeping my wife alive, and I credit BMW for saving their life in the first place.
Yeah.
Because you see pictures of this thing and you think, no way, no way.
That's why you buy a BMW, isn't it?
Yes.
So your book was just released now, and this accident happened in 2012. That's a 6-year period. Were you, like, grieving? Were you working on the book all that time? How long did it take you? And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when did you go from just being hands-on involved in being a caregiver and the hospital visits, the doctor appointments, to where you started saying, you know, maybe this can be used as something to help others? Tell me about that 6-year period.
The first 3 months, Susan was in the hospital. The first part of that, she was in the ICU and then moved into just a medical care unit and then moved into rehab. And during that time, from day one, because we have a large circle of friends out here and the accident was all over the news, I began writing email updates and sharing them with our community. And they began as a way of keeping everyone informed of what was happening with her.
Journaling.
Was allowed in the building. Things were very uncertain.
Oh.
She had numerous injuries, including a broken neck. And it was just a roller coaster ride initially, very up and down, very uncertain. And I didn't want to provide people with false news, even though I knew that they were hungry for some news.
Yeah.
So what began as these email updates of talking about her condition evolved into more than that, as I tried to process this event from a father, from a husband, from an advocate in the hospital, dealing with insurance, all of those things. And then the spiritual part of this, the whys, and what if she had just left a minute earlier? What if I had taken my daughter to school that day? Maybe I would have been able to avoid it. And why did this have to happen? And, you know, all of those questions that are impossible to answer, but we ask them nonetheless.
The what ifs.
The what ifs, yeah. And So during this period, I wrote, and I was on a show at the time. I was finishing another movie at the time. I was developing another show, and I just sold a pilot to the CW. So I had a lot on my plate, and once this happened, I couldn't focus on any of them.
It all stopped, huh?
Yeah, I just I dropped out of the show, and that was fine. We were in post production on that, so they were able to finish it on my own, on their own. And I just focused my energy on what I needed to do in that moment, and part of that was the writing. And what I didn't realize at the time, a couple of things. One was, by putting these emails out there, I got so many emails back from friends and family, just full of love and support. And that became my lifeblood and helped me get through this time. And I wasn't in therapy at the time, and I wasn't taking any drugs or, you know, sleep medications or whatever. And but I had this network, I had this community, and that, as I look back on it, that was my therapy. The other thing that came out of these emails was that people would respond to me and say how moved they were by them, but also how they were helping them through whatever challenges they were going through. And I write about this in Struck, which is that we all have our bus. You know, we've all been hit by something.
Yeah.
And by sharing our story, I was just amazed and touched by how many people could relate to it from their lens of what was going on in their life. And I got back feedback that, you know, this is, your writing has made me a better husband, and your writing has made me a better father, or your writing has made me be more grateful for my marriage. And not just from men, from women, from both, and navigating their lives with their children and dealing with issues that they had in their lives. That ultimately became the reason why I wanted to write the book. Because if our story could help others, then it transcends beyond just my wife and daughter being hit by the bus into this greater good, where we recognize that people really do show up for one another in times of crises. So that's what we want to do with the story.
Yeah, I don't think you mentioned about your daughter. What happened with her? Did she escape injury? How, if she did?
Yeah, she miraculously walked away uninjured. And again, you see pictures of this bus, and you can see some of them on my website, which is douglaseagle.com. But the fact that anybody walked away from this is a miracle. Never mind survived it, you know, and I found her that morning. She called me. She was the one who called me getting out of the car, said, "Mommy's been in a car accident. Come quick." And when I found her, she was standing on the sidewalk just covered in glass and broke down in tears. And I held her and thought, I cannot believe I am holding her right now, looking at this wreck that she managed to escape from.
Your wife was still in the car when you got there?
She was still in the car.
Needed the jaws of life.
She was conscious. Sorry, say again?
Did she need the jaws of life to get out?
She did, yeah. She was trapped inside. When my daughter left the car, she said that she leaned over and kissed Susan goodbye on the forehead, because Susan's eyes were rolled back in her head and she didn't know if she was alive or not. When I got there, she was conscious and just reaching out and yelling for help, clearly in shock, clearly not present, but the paramedics wouldn't let me get any closer to her. They held me back. And again, out of this movie, this weird movie, I write about this, suddenly I'm uttering these lines that you've seen a million times, you know.
Well, you're right.
I'm her husband. Let me through, you know, all of that stuff. And, as they cut the roof off and tried to pull the car out from under the bus, they came to take my daughter to the hospital to have her checked out. And in that moment was given the choice, do you want to go with your daughter or stay with your wife?
Wow.
And my daughter looked at me and said, "Please, Daddy, please come with me." So that's what I did.
Wow. That's amazing. So you said every bone in her body was broken?
She had a traumatic brain injury, and so bleeding in her brain. She broke her C2 vertebra, which is the same break that Christopher Reeve experienced. Wow. She broke her clavicle, 12 ribs, punctured lung. Her pelvis was crushed. She broke her femur, her knee, severed her Achilles tendon, and some other, you know, deep lacerations and all. Oh, and both arms broken, and one of them in two places, the upper arm and the lower arm. She really was crushed. She was crushed by this.
Obviously, she had her seatbelt on.
She had her seatbelt on, yes.
Your daughter was in the back seat with her seatbelt on?
No, my daughter was in the front seat, which again...
Oh my gosh, that's...
The miracle of it. She was in the front seat. She had her seatbelt on. And from what I can gather, as the bus... You know, it was a freak accident. One of these things that if you wrote, you'd say, I don't know, it's a little far-fetched. I mean,
yeah.
Is this really going to happen?
Can't make up stuff like this, yeah.
A truck parked on one of the vertical side streets above Hollywood Boulevard that was, the driver had gotten out of and didn't put a wedge in his wheels. And the truck driverlessly drove down, or slid down into Hollywood Boulevard, into traffic. An oncoming bus swerved to avoid it, lost control, crossed over two lanes of traffic, and hit my wife's car. And in that moment of realization of what was about to happen, she was able to turn the wheel just enough. It was still a head-on impact, but it was just enough to create this tiny little pocket of safety for my daughter. That's the real-world explanation for how she survived. And then there's the miracle and otherworldly explanations for how she survived, which, you know, there's a lot of questions. Of, you know, again, I talk and write about in the book is what hand did God play in any of this? And the accident and their survival and, you know, all of it.
And everything that follows, yes.
Yeah.
That's incredible. You know, you and I have very similar stories. Mine isn't as traumatic. My wife, as you know, had a stroke. She had a headache 3 days, and then all of a sudden she says, well, maybe I should go to the doctor the next day. Well, the next day never came. By the time the ambulance arrived, you know, it was too late. She had a stroke, missed that three-hour period because the paramedics asked the most important question I would ever be asked, where do you want to take her? And I said, I don't know. Where would you take your wife if she was having a stroke? Well, they chose, we lived in Burbank, you know, and they chose the smaller Thompson Memorial Hospital, which is out of business now, which was closer, but St. Joseph Medical Center was just 10 minutes further. And so the lesson learned there is always go for the larger medical center, unless seconds counts, but with a stroke you have 3 hours. But I know exactly what you're going through.
You just don't think to ask those questions, you know.
No.
It was the same thing when I was at the scene. Them saying, okay, we're taking your daughter to the hospital. Well, I didn't say, well, which hospital?
Right.
Oh, hang on a minute. Let me just make sure they're in-network on my insurance. You know, you're not thinking about those things. You're just thinking about, let's get through this and we'll figure out the rest of it later. And that, you know, unfortunately can bite a lot of people afterwards. We were super lucky. We lived, or the accident and where we lived was very close to Cedars-Sinai. That's where they took her. That's where they took my wife. They both were in network.
That's a great hospital, though.
It's a great hospital.
As opposed to the one that my wife went to.
Yeah. But, you know, all these questions that come up in the moment, that's not what you're thinking about. You're not thinking, well, hey, hang on. How much is this ambulance ride going to cost? Well, let me just check and make sure it's covered. How about this ER visit? Is that covered? Where are you taking her now? I mean, she saw so many doctors, even though Cedars was in network, that a lot of these doctors that I don't even know, they're just there in the hospital, and they're not necessarily in network. But you're not stopping them and saying, well, who are you? What do you do?
Yeah.
Are you also a provider? You know.
So my next question is... if she had the same injury that Christopher Reeves had, does that mean she's a paraplegic as well?
Again, another, like, the unluckiest person, but luckiest person you can imagine. No, she broke her C2. As I said, when I got to the scene of the accident, she was still moving, waving her arm. And then in the ER, thrashing about so much there that I never thought for a minute, oh, well, she's broken her neck. She's paralyzed. It wasn't until later that day. Initially, the life-threatening injury for her was actually her crushed pelvis because of all of the capillaries in that area. They took her away and initially said, I think she's going to be fine. She's got a few broken bones. And then a few minutes later came back and told me in these words, which were quite bizarre, your wife is very ill. Like, and they kept repeating that. Your wife is very ill. It's like, what are you saying? Your wife is very ill. Until finally I was like, are you saying this is dire? Because as I said, when they took her away, it didn't seem that dire. And he said, yeah, if we can't control the bleeding in her pelvis, she's going to bleed out.
Wow.
And that was the moment where I went back into where my daughter was in the ER, and she asked, are they talking about mommy? And I said, yeah. She said, is she going to be okay? And for the first time I said, I think we have to prepare for the worst.
Well, listen.
It was maybe a half hour, an hour later, they came back and said, we've gotten the bleeding under control.
Okay.
She has bleeding in the brain. And I said, okay, but we're going to go take care of her pelvis first. And, again, I wasn't going to argue with that
one.
I didn't know why a bleeding brain didn't trump a broken pelvis, but they went off. And it wasn't even until later in the day that they came and told me that she had a broken neck.
Well, hold that thought, Doug, because we're up on a break, and I want to start at when we come back on that note. So don't go away. We will be right back.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
And we're back with Douglas Siegel, and his brand new book that came out, Struck, about his wife and his memoirs. She got hit by a bus, and it's just an amazing, amazing story. Tell me a little bit about the book, Doug. How long is the book a result of your memoirs that you were writing these emails back and forth?
Yeah, the emails became the foundation for the book. And I sent those emails for about the first 3 months until she came home. And then I kept writing, though I didn't really publish them in the same way that I had before, mostly because at that point I felt like, okay, well, we've made it through the hard part, and now we're just recovering like so many other people recover from an accident or an illness or whatever. And so that over, as I kept making notes, I kept writing and exploring different thoughts and feelings and documenting what was going on, because there certainly were numerous challenges when she came home. And that's when I started to think, oh, let me put these into a book. I had been encouraged a lot while I was sharing the emails to really, you've got to publish these. These are amazing. You've got to publish them. But I wanted it to become more than just a survival story. All right. I wanted to also get into the other aspect of it, which was, what was I thinking and feeling, and how does this transcend beyond just our family to other families? And that's when it felt like, yeah, I think this can and should be a book.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even know what a caregiver was. People were telling me I was a caregiver, and I said, oh, okay. Is that the case with you? I mean, were you really the caregiver? Were you the primary caregiver? Did you hire people to do what you were doing? How long were you out of work? Was finances an issue? You know, all of those things.
Yeah, I was the primary caregiver. Obviously, when she was in the hospital, she had doctors and nurses, but that's only one aspect of the caregiving, because there were certain things in the hospital that they couldn't take care of, that only I could, or in many cases couldn't, which was a source of extreme frustration. Susan was very delusional while she was in the hospital for the first couple of months, and just having bizarre delusions about what was really going on and where she was, and
that must
have
been
difficult
hard
to deal with. Then another phase of it that was extremely hard to deal with, it was she kept pulling out her NG tube, which is the feeding tube that goes, you know, into her nose and where she gets nourishment and the drugs from, but it's uncomfortable. It's a tube down your throat. She kept pulling it out, and they put it back in, which is a miserable procedure to do. And then they'd tie her hands down because she'd pull it out. And then she'd sweet-talk her nurses and say, oh, I won't pull it out, I won't pull it out. And then as soon as they untied her hands, she'd yank it out, not realizing what she was doing, just that there's this uncomfortable thing in my nose, and I'm going to keep yanking it out. And so
but she was talking okay then, huh?
Yeah.
Her language and her speech wasn't affected by all this?
She had a tracheostomy as well. So initially she wasn't speaking. She could mouth words. She could sort of raspily get them out. She has no memory of any of this, by the way.
Wow.
She doesn't remember probably almost 2.5 months into the hospital. And she was never really in a coma or an induced coma or had amnesia. She was conscious and talking and responding. She just has zero memory from the morning. She doesn't remember any of the accident. She remembers about 5 minutes, 10 minutes beforehand. And then she remembers sort of being in rehab almost 3 months later. But she, in the tying of her hands down and not having any water, she just was miserable and angry and taking that out on me.
Well, I've been there.
Yeah. I mean, it's like she assumed that I was the master of her hell in these moments. That I was the one who was ordering it, the no water, or to keep her hands tied down, rather than doing it for her benefit or because the doctors ordered it. And I write about this in Struck, was that, you know, but she's also extremely funny. I mean, my wife is very, very funny. So she would say to me, you know, rasping through her voice, "You don't know everything, Dr. McSiegel. You don't, you know, nobody's died from a glass of grape juice or green tea, Dr. McSiegel." So half the time I was on the verge of completely losing it and breaking down because I couldn't do anything to help her. And half the time I'm sort of laughing at the delusional, bizarre things coming out of her mouth.
Yeah.
It's a weird state to be in, but there is a lot of humor in the book because, you know, humor's there. Humor is in the dark.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry. I'm sure you've discovered what caregiver burnout is over this period of time. Did you experience any? If so, how, when? What'd you do about it? What were your symptoms?
A lot of, initially anyway, I never even, as you said before, I didn't think of it as caregiving. I just thought, hey, dude, this is what's going on right now. This is the card we've been dealt, and this is what I've got to do. And stepped into that role. And my job as a producer, I think, helped in a lot of that. Because I'm used to large productions and managing staffs of different departments. And here I was thrust into this new production, though the stakes were significantly higher, but dealing with the doctors and the nurses and the schedules and the timing and the kids and the food and, you know, all of the things were part of this big production I was producing and directing and not in control of the writing of it, unfortunately. But I do remember being pretty strong throughout her time in the hospital of just trying to get her to, you know, stay positive and see that there was light at the end of this tunnel and to work hard. Again, the Cedars program, the rehab program was fantastic, but for a while it wasn't clear that we were going to get into it. And so we had to navigate that as well, which was terrifying for both of us because if she couldn't get into it, I was probably going to have to bring her home. And I didn't want to take that on. But by the time she came home, she was able to transfer into a wheelchair and get around a little bit, not on her own, but with help. But, you know, I was bringing her to the bathroom and doing all those things as, you know.
You were being a caregiver.
Yeah. And,
listen,
you know, humility goes out the window.
I hate to cut in again, but we got to go. Got to do another break. So hold on to that thought, and we will be right back. Please don't go away.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back on the Caregiver Dave Show with my guest, Douglas Siegel, CaregiverDave.com. And I want to move into the future here, Doug, because I believe, I'm a Christian, I believe that everything happens for a reason. And apparently you are a temple-going Jew. Are you conservative, Orthodox, or what's that third word? Reformed?
Reformed. Reform means that I don't know where I stand.
So has this increased your faith? I like to say that experiences like this either make you better or bitter. And I would always choose better because bitter doesn't do anybody any good. And
yeah.
Do you believe that everything happens for a reason? I mean, there could be a future movie here. I mean, you're a producer of movies and... You're already doing the writing here. This sounds like a great story. Have you thought about this?
Yeah, I have, and it's an interesting... It's also part of what I write about in Struck is this whole bigger picture and hand of God and bigger reason, and it comes from both sides. You know, Susan would... People would say to her, well, you survived for a reason. You must still be here for a reason. And there's a lot of pressure that's associated with that, and initially her thoughts were... What big reason do I need to have? I had a good marriage. I have wonderful children, a lovely home, great friends. It wasn't like I was regretting part of my life that now I have this second chance to redo and do a do-over. And I feel a lot of the same ways. And what I write about is that in this time of crises, people really showed up for us, and it reaffirmed my faith in the power of love and community to heal. And I write about this as well, that I didn't, in the hospital, I never found myself praying with the quotations around it. I would say that it felt more like making wishes, saying, boy, I hope that this surgery goes well. Mm-hmm. I hope that she's not paralyzed. It didn't begin with please God, I hope. But ultimately, when I look back at the story and I think about how community played a role in all of our healing, had I prayed to God specifically, what would I have asked for? I would have asked for strength. I would have asked for compassion. I would have asked for healing, for love, for the energy to keep getting through this. And that's exactly what I got from everyone who I was sharing my emails with and everyone who was on this journey with us. And so ultimately, you know, we talk about how God is within us all, and where I ended up on it was that God is us all. Mm-hmm. We all have the power to do exactly what we pray to God for. And I guess that's sort of my spiritual journey on this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Was your faith the same? I mean, did you used to attend synagogue before the accident, and then you still do, or you didn't, and now you do? I mean, what was it like before and after your faith?
I did and still do. It wasn't that I'd never believed in God, but, you know, I've done a lot of UFO shows and alien shows, and, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you look at a UFO or alien, it's kind of like, or ghosts and supernatural. You'd like to believe it, but I've never seen a UFO. I've never seen a ghost. I like to believe that there is something more out there. And, you know, I write about this as well, is that maybe when this life is over and I get to whatever's next, God looks at me and says, what more proof did you need? Mm-hmm. You know, your daughter walked away uninjured. Your wife survived the unsurvivable. What more do you need? And there's a lot of truth in that. And I think that these are the questions that ran around in my head and run around in my head, and I don't dismiss any of it. I do believe in faith. I do believe that things happen for a reason, or don't happen for a reason, and that's hard. You know, in the moment, sometimes you think, this is a terrible thing that just happened, and then somewhere down the road, when you're looking at it in the rearview mirror, you realize, whoa, we were actually lucky that thing didn't happen at that time, because if that had happened, this other thing wouldn't have happened.
Yep.
So,
you know,
there's that aspect to it as well.
We have a lot of similarities in that my first book was like your first book, the memoirs, you know, my story. It was called One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. And it was just about our story, about how we survived that. For us, it was a two-and-a-half-year grieving period that was just hell, you know. I was the only one around, so, you know, we had to move. We had to sell her car because she couldn't do it anymore, and it was all my fault, you know, and I was the one who was being blamed for everything, as you were. And then finally when I got around to getting healthy and taking care of myself and realizing that, you know, there are so many other caregivers out there who are feeling lost and alone, I don't want them to suffer like I suffered. I made all the mistakes in the world that a caregiver could make. If you just don't make my mistakes, then you'll be better off. And so I started the radio show to caregivers. I wrote my third book. It's My Life Too, Reclaim Your Caregiver Sanity by Learning When to Say Yes and When to Say No. So now I'm reaching out to caregivers in the next book, you know, which is the one I already wrote. And so I was wondering, do you have this burden for caregivers as well, since you are one and you've made a lot of mistakes, I'm sure, and there are so many of them, 65.7 million, just the ones we know about, but there's so many more who we don't know about, you know, the neighbor, the elderly neighbor who you see bending over, picking up the newspaper every day, and you're saying, oh my gosh, let me bring this in for you. While you're there, you see that he's reaching for things on the top shelf, and you say, well, let me get that for you. Next thing you know, you're cooking him breakfast. Next thing you know, you're taking him to doctor appointments. Before you realize it, my gosh, you're his caregiver. And you say, how did I get sucked into this? Yeah, you know, we don't sign up for it. It's not on our resume. But have you ever thought about a caregiver book? And you got about 20 seconds to answer.
Well, you know, we talk about this notion of the reason why we're here and the reason everything happens for a reason. And I think that in writing this book, if this can help other people, then that is reason. And one of the things that I've found and I write about is that everybody's got their bus and we've all been hit by something, and not to suffer silently, to reach out, especially men who don't have the same networks that women do, reach out and get support. Get help, emote, share your feelings. Mm-hmm. Keeping them locked inside is not healthy. And there is love and compassion up there and the power to heal and help. So.
Good answer. Good answer. We're going to take another break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Hey, this is the Caregiver Dave Show. I'm Dave Nassani. I'm on with Douglas Siegel, author of Struck. So in this last segment, let's talk a little more about your book and how it's doing and what I noticed. You got a lot of really amazing reviews on this, not just from John and Sally Doe, but from some pretty important people and groups. How did you manage that?
Yeah, that's. I found that writing and or selling books is equally as hard as selling movies or TV shows. You know, it's lightning in a bottle. But I never wrote the book to actually try to become a best-selling author. I wrote the book to share the story, and that's what I have to keep coming back to, and that's what I think that people are responding to and relating to and connecting to with the book. And as you can see from those reviews, they are feeling the same thing. They are moved by it. They're inspired by it. And if that helps get the story out and then sells more books, that's great. I just want, as I said, I wrote it to help and inspire people. And if we can do that, then I've succeeded and I feel good about it.
Yeah, well, like I said, the first book is just something that has to come out, like you're pregnant. And you know, you're 9 months pregnant. This baby's got to come out or I'm going to die. And that's kind of how the first book typically is. It's just, you know, get it out. And then you start thinking, okay, that was a pretty good response. Well, maybe the second book needs to be a little more focused on a people group. And, of course, I chose caregivers because that's who I can really I become a caregiver expert, I am told, because I've been doing this 22 years, and I'm still alive. 30% of caregivers actually die before their loved ones do, and 60% become sicker than the ones they're caring for, eventually needing a caregiver of their own. And if that wasn't enough, stress, you know, it's a higher incidence of suicide among caregivers because they feel down and hopeless and depressed. And any time there's another suicide in the news, you know, Kurt Cobain and Kate Spade and Robin Williams, all those people, and Anthony Bourdain, you know, we just have to ask if there's depression, is suicide far behind? So that's why I chose to write for caregivers.
Yeah,
so what's the future hold for you? Do you know yet?
I don't know. You know, people have talked to me about a movie or a TV show, and maybe that's in there. I guess one of the things that's really resonated for me a lot with the book is this issue of men's mental health, and as we talked a little bit about how we just don't have that same kind of support system. You know, men, they say, how are you? And you say, well, good. How are you? Good. And then they walk on, you know. And women, they get together and they share all of these things. Mm-hmm. And so I might explore that more. I, you know, there's the whole, in our situation, there was a whole lawsuit associated with it, and that's a story in itself with tons of twists and turns, and so there's that, or this becomes it's a one-off. It's just me sharing this, and that's what I have to say, and here, go and put it out in the world and hope that people take something from it. I don't know. If there's more to say, I will say it.
Yeah. But, how did this affect your job as it was before? I mean, are you still writing? Are you still producing? Or are you kind of semi-retired? What's going on?
No, not at this point. Though there are times, you know, as you talk about with a caregiver, you know, people will say, oh, my God, you're like this knight. You're this shining godsend. And meanwhile, I'm frustrated, and I have short temper, and I don't want to massage shoulders or fetch this or fluff that, and feel guilty when I looked over, because Susan's doing remarkably well now, but and seeing her scars and everything that she went through, that I can't just put that behind me. But, you know, you do get to a place where you think, she was thinking, is this my life now? Mm-hmm. And though I would say to her, no, this is what it is right now, but it isn't necessarily what it's going to be. But I had the same questions, you know, is this my life now? Is this what I'm destined for? And that becomes hard, and you have to do, I think, things for yourself. You know, continue to, whatever that is that makes you happy, your passions, your joys, continue to do those things.
So what did she do before her, I'm sorry to interrupt, what did she do before her accident?
She was an actress. You've seen her in Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm and Everybody Loves Raymond, and she's done a lot of different parts on a lot of sitcoms. And she also then started teaching a Mommy and Me class when we had our kids. And so she's still both of those things. And again, to see her, you'd never know what she went through, which is remarkable. And we're super lucky and blessed.
Is she ambulatory? Can she walk?
Oh, yeah. She's walked.
So what can't she do?
She, you know, there was a lot of excess bone growth, so she can't turn her arm over. That's kind of locked in place from the healing. Mm-hmm. She uses a cane a lot. She doesn't want to fall because she has that fear and that the doctors put into her, don't fall. She gets tired. She can't walk for long distances. She gets achy. She has nerve damage in her lower extremities. But I know I say that their car may have been crushed by a bus, but her spirit of life and zest and humor and our love was not crushed. And I think
that's
the fact that we can still laugh and enjoy each other, that's a big part of why we're still here and still going.
And you said she was asking about the future. We have about 60 seconds. What are her hopes for the future?
I think to continue to share the story, to help others, and to continue to enjoy her life and our life, and take advantage of every moment, because as we know, you never know what's going to happen when you wake up in the morning.
Yep.
Might just get hit by a bus.
So how do we contact you if somebody wants to talk to you or maybe ask you to write a movie for them or something?
Has some contact info, douglassiegel.com, it's S-E-G-A-L. And the book is Struck, A Husband's Memoir of Trauma and Triumph, and it's available pretty much everywhere that you'd buy a book. And so I hope that your listeners find it and enjoy it and take something from it. I think that we all can and will.
Thank you so much, Doug, for coming on the show, for taking the time. Give your wife my best, And again, that's DouglasSiegel.com. And I'm at CaregiverDave.com, and I've got some free gifts for you. Just go over there and check it out. And thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. And we'll be here again next time. So God bless you, and see you again. Bye-bye.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words by Dave Nassani is the book that helps you overcome and perhaps even prevent the hardships associated with strokes. Dave takes you on his journey and experience with his own wife, Charlene, a stroke survivor. This book tells you everything about strokes to help you and your loved ones survive without making costly mistakes that may save a life or a brain from irreparable damage. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words. The book is available on Amazon.com or order it from fine bookstores everywhere.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
Reclaim your caregiver sanity with Dave Nassani's book, It's My Life Too. Caring for someone with an illness or condition who is expected to live for a relatively long period of time is a specific and unique challenge. This book pinpoints the needs and strategies a caregiver must do for themselves in order to survive, thrive, and make caregiving a rewarding, gratifying experience. So get your copy of It's My Life Too today, or buy one for your special caregiver. It's My Life Too is available at Amazon.com and CaregiverDave.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Guilt, fear, loneliness, burnout. These are just some of the things caregivers feel. But now there's hope. CaregiverDave.com is a membership website with an understanding community designed around supporting you. With a little perspective, planning, and practical help, you can become a thriving caregiver. Start by visiting CaregiverDave.com. Get weekly calls, practical solutions, and free resources. Plus, when you sign up, you'll get a 30-minute coaching call free. Don't wait. Go to CaregiverDave.com and join now.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.